Welcome once again to the Family Worship Center of Indiantown website. If you are listening to this, most likely you are on the website. Now, I've got to give you a warning. If you look the website over, all those pictures of us, we're older than that. And with this quarantine, we're probably about 15 pounds heavier. They call that the quarantine 15. We look forward in the days ahead to a gathering once again, and we will keep you posted on that. This morning, for this message, for this Sunday morning's message and service, I've asked Ed and Connie Whitaker, and I'll be joining them to do some of the music. And I've asked Pastor Pedro of the Centro Familiar de Adoración Church, the Spanish congregation, here at Family Worship Center to deliver the message. And so in a while, you'll be hearing what he's prepared and his message. We want to pray and ask God to speak to hearts. And before we pray, I just want to ask you to remember two families. There's many that we can pray for. But our brother here, Craig Edwards, and his family, pray for them. Craig's brother, Mark, died this past week. And we want to ask you to lift them up in prayer and ask the Lord to help them in that loss. And also a family that we don't really know here, but they are friends with Sharon and Ken Hafner. Pray for the family of Cecilia Nastari, her son Alan, and friend Kelly, and another daughter, Terry. Their mother passed away this past week as well. Well, let us pray, and we'll remember those families that are grieving and dealing with loss. And as we've prayed each week, pray for strength and help for those who are ministering on the front lines of this pandemic, and also the many others who are serving their communities. Let's pray. Father God, thank you once again for life, Lord, for this day, for strength and health to be up and about. We recognize that there are many who are in hospital beds and many who are sick at home. We pray for each one and for their families and ask you to help in each case. Lord, we pray too for these frontline workers and ask you to give them strength and, Lord, help them as they are seeing with their own eyes people suffering. Please help them. Lord, I pray for Craig and for his family, his mom and dad, and help them, Lord, as they are grieving the loss of Mark. We ask that you'd comfort them in the days ahead. And we pray too, Lord, for Cecilia and her family, Cecilia's family. Lord, please comfort them in their loss and many others. Lord, we lift up before you and ask you to help. Father, please speak to hearts through the music, through the words of the songs, and also through the message that Pedro will be bringing. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Finding more power Thank you, Pastor Bruce, and thank you, church. Thank you, friends, for taking the time to listen to today's message. Lillian, Josiah, and I hope that you are doing okay at home, and we're praying for you, and we're praying and hoping that we will be congregating again real soon. So let's keep praying about that. Well, today the message comes from the Gospel of Mark, and I would like to go to Mark chapter 6, verses 45-52, and I will be reading from the Christian Standard Bible. Mark chapter 6, verses 45-52. Immediately, he made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. After he said goodbye to them, he went away to the mountain to pray. Well into the night, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. He saw them straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Very early in the morning, he came toward them walking on the sea and wanted to pass by them. When they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately he spoke with them and said, "Have courage, it is I, don't be afraid." Then he got into the boat with them and the wind ceased. They were completely astounded, because they had not understood about the loaves. Instead, their hearts were hardened. Well, in this story, just previously to this story, Jesus had fed 5,000 people. We can read about that in verses 30-44. He had demonstrated his power, mercy, and compassion to them. After doing that, the Bible says that he made his disciples get into the boat and cross the sea. Actually, it was a lake. And he does that while he dismisses the crowd. Why did he do that? Maybe the disciples were wondering, why would he do something like that? Why wouldn't Jesus go along with them in this journey to the other side of the lake? But you know what, church, you know what, friends, sometimes God is going to make us do things that will probably do not make any sense to us. It's all about obedience. It's all about obeying God, because he has a purpose for everything that he asks us to do. When Jesus does that, the Bible says in verse 46 that right after he said goodbye to them, he went away to the mountain to pray. He wanted to be with his heavenly Father. He wanted to spend time with him. He wanted to be close to him. He wanted to be near him. And because he needed to recharge himself, we need to remember that he had just ministered to thousands of people, and he was constantly preaching the good news. He was constantly performing miracles. He was constantly doing the work of his heavenly Father. And because of that, he needed to take some time to get away and spend time with the Father. He needed to refresh himself in his presence. You know that in times like these, we need to recharge ourselves as well. In times like these, we need to refresh ourselves. We need to get away from what we hear on a daily basis, what we see on the news. And we need to find some type of refreshment, spiritually speaking, that is. And the only way to do that, church, the only way to do that, my friend, is through prayer. The Bible says in Philippians 4, verse 6, and I'm reading from the New Century Version. It says, "Do not worry about anything, but pray and ask God for everything you need, always giving thanks." In times like these, we can feel stressed out, And we can just feel the tension in the air wherever you go. If you go to the store or if you go to work, and you can just sense the worry and the concern in people, especially with this pandemic. You know what? We can find rest and we can find release from that pressure. We can find refreshment in the presence of God. Paul tells the church in Philippi, in Philippians 4, verse 4, with the Christian Standard Bible, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." So we can find joy, we can find happiness, we can find rest, we can find comfort in the presence of God. And the only way to do that is through prayer. If Jesus did it, that means that you and I must do it as well. You can do that also. My friend who is listening to this message this morning, you can come closer to God and you can speak to him through prayer, and you can present to him all your worries and concerns and needs and anything that it's in your mind. You can come before the Lord and do that. The Bible says, going back to the story, in verses 47 through 48, that the disciples found themselves in the middle of the lake. And it says that they were straining at the oars because the wind was against them. I like what the New Living Translation says. It says that he saw that they were in serious trouble. So they were having a difficult time. They were rowing hard and struggling against the wind and the waves. They were having a difficulty trying to navigate on that lake because the wind was against them, and they were struggling hard to row the boat. Sometimes we'll find ourselves in situations where we're struggling hard to row our boats because the wind blows against us. You know, the wind of this current pandemic, which has caused disease, death, unemployment for many people, not here in America, not only in America, but in many places around the world, and uncertainty as well. And I'm not talking only about the world in general. I'm talking about Christians too. Christians who are struggling right now because they've lost their jobs or because they've lost a loved one. And they're struggling right now. They're having to deal with that, with the wind of this current disease. You know, the wind of the loss of a loved one. So right now, you and I are well aware that the world is rowing hard and struggling against the wind and the waves of COVID-19. And going back to this story, Mark tells us that the disciples were in serious trouble. They were probably weary and tired by now. You know that difficult situations and circumstances have the ability to wear us out. Trials and tribulations have the possibility to bring us down. You know, the fact that at times we have to row hard and struggle against the wind and waves will wear us out. But you know what Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 11:28? He told them, "Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." That means that Jesus is willing to give us the rest and the peace, and he's willing to take our burdens and give us the refreshment that we need. The Bible says also here in verse 48 that he saw them, how they were struggling against the wind and the waves. You know, the disciples at that moment could have asked themselves, "Where is Jesus? Where is the Master? Why did he make us get into this boat and go by ourselves to the other side of the lake? Where is he now when we need him the most?" But the reality, my friend, my brother and sister, is that Jesus was watching. He was watching them. He was aware of their situation. We can probably ask ourselves the same question right now, right this very morning or at this very moment. Where is God in all this? Where is he? I know people who've asked me that. Where is Jesus in all this? Where was he when my loved one passed away? Where was God when I needed him? When this pandemic took my family? The truth is that Jesus is well aware of what is going on in our lives and in this world. He is not indifferent to the suffering and trouble that currently surrounds us. He's not like the gods that the pagans in the Old Testament serve. I can think of the story when Elijah faced the challenge and had to face a number of people who claimed that their gods were the real gods. And Elijah challenged them, and he even made fun of them because, according to the story in the Old Testament, it says that these folks, these priests, were crying and yelling and screaming because they needed a sign from above. And Elijah tells them, well, keep on doing that. Maybe your God is asleep and he needs to wake up. You know, God is not like that. The God that you and I serve, the Jesus that you and I know, he never sleeps. He never slumbers. Like the writer of Psalms says, he is well aware of what's going on right now. It's not like he woke up this morning to suddenly turn to the news and see all this that's going on right now. No, God is well aware of what's going on at this very moment. And that's the comfort that you and I have, that God is watching us at this very moment, that Jesus is looking at you and he knows what you're going through at this very moment. Back to verse 48, the Bible says that Jesus goes to his disciples. It says he comes to them. He came to them. He was not only aware of their struggle, but he did something about that. He went to them. He went to meet them. He encountered them. He didn't wait for the storm to pass or went to look for a boat to get into and go to them. No, the Bible says that around 3 o'clock in the morning, according to the New Living Translation, Jesus came toward them, walking on the water. He did the impossible. He actually walked on the water to go meet them. So there wasn't anything that could prevent Jesus from meeting his disciples. You know what God is telling you and I this morning, church? My friend, that Jesus will come towards us in the middle of your storm. When you most need him, Jesus will come to you. Jesus will come to meet you in the middle of your trial, in the middle of the tribulation, in the middle of this crisis. God is meeting a lot of people. God is coming and he's encountering so many folks who had lost hope and were probably in despair, and God is finding them at this very moment. You know, that's the wonderful thing about the Lord, about the God that you and I serve, that there is no mountain that can prevent him from going to your rescue, from coming to our assistance and rescue. He is willing to do the impossible to come meet us. He's willing to do what no one else can do. The Bible says, going back to the story in verses 49 and 50, that when they saw him, they were terrified. It was because they thought Jesus was a ghost. You know, they couldn't recognize Jesus because they were focused on their own situation. They were focused on the waves and the wind and the rain and the thunder and the lightning strikes. Because it can get pretty terrifying, from what I understand, in that part of that lake. It can get very, very scary at times, and you have to be a very, very knowledgeable sailor. But anyways, they were terrified, and we're talking about fishermen who had probably been in a situation similar to this one, except that this one was even in a greater dimension. But anyways, they couldn't recognize Jesus because they were focused on their surroundings, on what was there at that very moment. You know that God is telling us today that the devil can use your storms to steal your focus from Jesus? Yeah, that's right. The devil can use situations like these. The devil can use your adverse circumstances to make you lose focus on Jesus. Because Jesus said it himself. He had told them that the enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his mission. But you know what you and I can do this morning? We need to take our eyes off of our problems and fix them on Jesus. The Bible says in Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2, reading from the Christian Standard Bible, "Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith." So what do we need to do right now at this very moment, church, is to fix our eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your eyes on God, that he eventually he'll come and encounter you wherever you are. It doesn't matter. Where do you find yourself? He will come to our rescue. When Jesus came to meet them, the disciples, in verse 50 it says that he told them, "Have courage." Another version reads, "Take courage. It is I. It's me. Don't be afraid." Jesus gives them a command and not a suggestion. He's not giving them an option. He tells them not to be afraid and instead to be of good cheer, to have courage. Jesus is commanding us to take courage and not be afraid right now. He's commanding us to watch him and be still and know that he is God. That's what the writer of Psalms 46 verse 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." You see, God himself had appeared to them out of nowhere, basically. God himself had appeared to the disciples to encourage them and to tell them that he was going to do something about their situation. God is telling us the same thing this morning, this afternoon, this evening. He's telling us to be encouraged, be still, and know that he is God. And if he is God, and I know he is God, I know you believe that today, that he is the real God, the one and true God. He's going to do something about this situation, about our situation, about the problem that you're facing. The Bible says in verse 51 that Jesus climbed into the boat. It says Jesus climbs into the boat. He did something. He was going to do something about that situation. Because it says here, verse 51, "Then he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased." The wind stopped. Completely stopped. You see, when he took control of that boat, the wind stopped. You see, church friend, when we let Jesus climb into our boat and take control of it, then the winds will stop. Trials and adversities will stop. There is a change for the better. But you know what? Even if the winds or the storms around us, even if the circumstances around you today, the trials, the problems that you've been facing, don't cease at this very moment, even after you let Jesus take control of your life, let me tell you that the storms in you, inside of you, will stop. Jesus said it in John 14:27, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Don't let your heart be troubled or fearful." Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7 says, "Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Isn't that wonderful? That the peace of God that goes beyond all understanding, that no mind here on earth is able to decipher and explain. It says, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So even if the storms around us continue to rage, let me tell you, you and I can find an inner peace, an inner joy that nothing or no one in this world is able to give. Even if the winds or the storms don't cease, even if the trials and adversities don't stop, because sometimes they will not stop when we want them to stop. Sometimes they will not stop when we need them to stop. Let me tell you that even if that's the case, we can still trust Jesus because he is navigating with us. If God is for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:31. So to conclude this message, church, my friend, we realize that people are rowing hard and struggling against the wind of this pandemic. And even many Christians are facing this predicament. But the word says that we need to let Jesus find us in the middle of our storm. Let Jesus find you where you are, right there at this very moment. Let him find you. He's not far away. He's much closer than you and I can realize. Let us invite Jesus into our boats, into our lives. Let's ask him to come into our lives and take control. Let's pray. Father God, I just want to thank you this morning for this message. Thank you, Father God, because you are good. You are good always, all the time. And I thank you, Father, because you are aware of what's going on at this very moment, Father. You know what's happening around the world. You know what's going on with this pandemic. You know, Father God, how it has affected millions and millions of people. The whole globe, the whole world has been affected by it. Powerful nations and underdeveloped nations, the rich and the poor, black and white, men and women, children, the young and the elderly. Father God, but we also know, Father God, that you're able to give us peace, rest, and comfort in the middle of this storm. Father, you're able to give us the confidence that we need. You're able to give us the protection for our families, for ourselves. And Father, we just want to entrust our lives to you and entrust the lives of our loved ones. Father God, we want to give you the control of our lives. We turn it over to you, Father. We want to relinquish that to you, Lord. And we want to recognize you for what you are, Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thank you, Father, once again. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Take my hand, lay me on, help me stand. I'm done. precious Lord, lead me home. And when my way grows drear, precious Lord, linger near. When my life is almost gone, hear my precious Lord, lead me home. When the dark disappears and the night draws near and the day is past and gone, at the river I stand, guide my feet. Precious Lord, lead me home. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. Oh Lord, joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul,
like a river attendeth my way. When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot
Thank you, Pedro, for bringing this message of direction and encouragement from God's word for his people. And I'd like to also thank Ed and Connie Whitaker for leading the worship and helping with the music. And just an encouragement to anybody who's listening, let's continue to live out our lives as followers of Christ, as we encouraged last week to be the salt of the earth. And let us continue to also be a light during this time. God bless you, and we'll look forward to meeting same place, same station next week. God bless you.